There are two places this verse is used, the word priyaye, priya. Priya means dear. And just relating to a verse that is in Bhagavad Gita, as some devotees have read before, particularly about the book distribution service that they are doing. So Krishna says, this is the only verse I could find. There may be many verses with two times repeating of priya. So that's 1869. Nacha tasman manusheshu kashchin me priya krittamaha bhavita nacha me tasmad anya priya taro bhuvi. The translation is, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. And before that, Krishna is saying in text 68, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end, he will come back to me. So all those going out, distributing books are so dear to Krishna. And this is also, I was thinking, the day of Christmas Eve. So Lord Jesus was, this is the birth before night. Yeah? Midnight tonight. And Jesus Christ was considered as Satyavesh Avatar. So Prabhupada has glorified him in so many purports. He is forgiving his executors at the time he's being crucified, so-called crucifixion. And he's saying, praying to the Lord, O Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So this is the heart of a Vaishnava who always wants to forgive. He had so much compassion. He took so much risk to go out, distribute the glories of the God. So we are always considering him as a pure devotee of the Lord. So that's great. I'm feeling so unqualified again to speak on this great day. But yeah, let's see if I can say something. So first of all, I need some water. I'll read through the translation once again. After reaching his own camp, Arjuna, along with his dear friend and charioteer Sri Krishna, entrusted the murderer unto his dear wife, who was lamenting for her murdered sons. Now the scene that's setting up is Arjuna is coming and Ashwatthama is bound like an animal with a rope. And Krishna is the charioteer and they're bringing him to Draupadi, who is lamenting at the place where her sons were killed. So reading the purport, I was thinking how much nectar Prabhupada has put in all of his purports and how he's trying to bring the highest rasa in any situation. So the situation here is a bit fearful situation. There's a murderer here and he's being tied up and there is lamentation. Obviously for mother losing her children is very, very harsh, very hard. And Arjuna coming with his dear friend, as Shukdev Goswami himself are in that ecstasy, when they describe that relationship between Krishna and Arjuna, we can see that ecstasy in the verse itself, where he starts to define priya. So, Prabhupada, out of his mercy and out of his own ecstasy, picks up the highest rasa in this particular translation. So the highest rasa of the many things that's going on here. There's a fear, there's a murderer, there's a lamentation, and there is confusion because Arjuna was supposed to kill. Krishna was asking him to kill this. He's an atatai, he's a murderer. He cannot be spared. His life cannot be spared. But Arjuna was not sure at the time. He's thinking, he's contemplating what is the best thing to do. That is Arjuna's nature. We'll see that. So of the three brothers, Arjuna would consult. He would like to think a little bit. Yudhishthir immediately forgave. So, you know, five brothers, Pandavas, Yudhishthir, Bhima, Arjun, Nakula, Shyadev. So Yudhishthir Maharaj's nature was to forgive. There are many incidents in Mahabharata where he just immediately forgave. Jayadrath forgave him. And Bhima was punish. Just kill him. Bhima, though he was ready at the time, just kill this person. Arjun was slightly different. He would contemplate, he would think. That's one of the qualities as devotee we develop. Like we come across any situation, we have to contemplate how to react to the situation. What would Krishna and Guru like me to do? So Arjun, although he's being instructed by Krishna himself, we know what's going on in the scene there. I don't know that, I don't want to start discussing the later part of it. But, Krishna is telling him, kill. He's not killing. Well, only 18 days ago, I told you what to do, and you were confused. I asked you to kill, you started killing, and now he's confused again. So, no, but Arjuna is contemplating. He's not taken knowledge. Some kill means kill everything, everyone. So he's very intelligent. So, in this scenario, what was I? So I was going back to the Priya. So Prabhupada picked up that Priya, the highest rasa, mellow in this. And then what he does, the purport, I'll just read the purport once again, so beautiful. First, he can feel his ecstasy. He says, the transcendental relation of Arjuna with Krishna is of the dearmost friendship. That gives ecstasy to devotees, seeing the pure devotees relishing with relationship with the Lord. Then Prabhupada comes to the preaching mood, says, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself has claimed Arjuna as his dearmost friend. Bhakto sime sakha jeti hetu etam uttamam. So he's saying that you are my dear devotee and my friend. That's why I'm giving you this most confidential knowledge. That's the relationship of Krishna and Arjuna. We see so many instances. And then Prabhupada says, now he comes to the point. Like if we have to read this, understand, okay, so there is Arjuna, Krishna. Arjuna is a great warrior, is a great devotee of the Lord, is a friend. What's in it for me? This is where Prabhupada comes in and says, okay, now I need to worry about my readers, my devotees, my disciples. So he says, now starts to give hope to everyone. He says, every living being is thus related with the Supreme Lord by some sort of affectionate relation. So this is like a huge hope, if you see, for someone like me is coming from, you know, really crazy background, say, is this something I can have? You know, just imagine Prabhupada is giving us this. He's saying, every living entity can have that affectionate relationship. And this is so much promising, so much hope-giving. And then he says, also defines not only that relationship, this is where he brings in the personalism, because impersonalism, the relationship is merging. Then Prabhupada brings in the personal relationship. He says, you can either as servant, or as friend, or as parent, or as an object of conjugal love. He has defined the relationship. He's taken the four of the five primary rasas. The first is Shantarash, where we are appreciative of the Lord. We see the Lord. Yeah, we like devotees. We like Lord. But we're not coming forward to do anything about it. The next level is where it rises to Dasyam. So Santa, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So these are the five rasas. Of the five rasas, Shantarasa is not considered to be at the transcendental level. So Prabhupada is not even bringing that. He is bringing the top rasas where you can have the relationship in the spiritual world as a servant, as a friend, as a parent, or as a conjugal lover. So he gives us that. Then he says, everyone thus can enjoy the company of the Lord in the spiritual realm. So if I have a relationship with Krishna, then what do I do? So what's the next step? Then he also gives the hope that we can enjoy the relationship, whatever we have, with Krishna in the spiritual realm, in the Goloka. And then he says, if he at all desires and sincerely tries for it by the process of bhakti yoga. So it boils down to if he at all desires. So if we at all desire, it's all available. Prabhupada has given in his books so many explanations. He said, if someone is chanting, that's good, you can start chanting. But if someone likes philosophy, we have hundreds of books. So, but the relationship is explained here and gives us so much hope. If at all we have the desires. And we sincerely try it by the process of bhakti yoga. So Prabhupada has defined the whole process of bhakti yoga, taking from our Acharya Zupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and the whole parampara. And he has given it step by step, how we can apply this. But the problem is desire. There was a, I was in a yatra, you know, we go every year, Kartik Yatra recently, sitting in a class, and this brahmachari was talking about a similar topic, and he asked an open question. What if you happen to be a grass, a blade of grass in the spiritual world? How would you feel? Any one person can. So how would you feel if you happen to be a blade of grass in the spiritual world? Great. Oh, that's good. He's a good devotee. Someone said, oh, it's boring. I said, no, then you're not understood. The relationship there with Krishna is so melodious, so rasa, full of rasa, that you enjoy everything. The grass is just waiting for Krishna to put his foot, or his devotees, or his friends to put their feet on me and say, wow, I can know this is what he was saying. Some higher rasa. And this, he was saying in the class that we need to understand that this is what we are aiming for. And this is what Prabhupada wants to give us. Even if you're not aiming, Prabhupada is reminding us all the time, this is what we have to do. But the trouble is our desires. So I was thinking, desire is something at my level, Prabhupada is a higher level, my level, who is more sort of, you know, used to chewing neem. You know what neem is? Neem is a Nimai, so Mahaprabhu's name is Nimai is kept because he was born under the neem tree. Neem tree leaves are very bitter. If someone is used to bite neem leaves, for them to appreciate the juice of a mango, it's going to be difficult. For me, I'm more used to that bitter, many, many lifetimes of bitter neem. So it's going to be difficult for me to speak of those aspects of higher relationship. At my level, I would like to, you know, just discuss on desire. So someone said once, and I remember this in very early age when I was attending classes, going to temple, that Krishna consciousness is all about desire management. It's all about desire management, because at all stages we will always have desires. So it's an example, like a mind is like an ocean. An ocean has unlimited waves. They're going up and down, tides. And there is this wave, there are desires coming one after another. You cannot stop. Your ocean cannot exist without the waves. The mind cannot exist without desires. We have so many desires constantly. So Prabhupada, very early, pretty much all the purpose explaining is our only thing we have to do is dovetail our desires, dovetail our inclinations. Whatever we like to do, we do for Krishna. We merge, we join our desires with Krishna. Situation in this particular instance, what's happened is, so Ashwathama, he did what he desired. A very heinous act to perform, to kill sleeping five sons of Pandavas. When the war was over, the war was finished, Duryodhan was lying half dead. He was literally on the verge of death. And Ashwathama comes along, he finds out, my king is now lying, and somehow he figures out that Pandavas have used unlawful means of killing him or hurting him so badly. He comes along and says, I take a vow. I will kill all the Pandavas today. And Duryodhana is lying there. He sees this person is now really excited. He's aggressive. He's aggressive. He's very strong also. Ashwathama was very strong. And Duryodhana was always clever, very intelligent, very, in a way, shrewd. Yeah, cunning person. He realized this person is now in that crazy sort of state of mind. But he knew that Ashwathama is impulsive. There were many previous incidents that he was proven that he was impulsive. I'll come to that. But he says, okay, if you desire to do that, you can do it. I'll hereby authorize you as the commander of the army. In the army, there were only three people left from Duryodhana's side. Ashwathama, Kritavarma and Kripacharya. Kripacharya was the priest of the Kuru court, and Kritavarma was one of the Yadava family, but he fought against Krishna. Only three of them were left, and the war was over. Ashwatthama goes along, he says, I will take the revenge. So he desires to take revenge. And he's now authorized. He goes away, the war, that day is over. They go and sleep under a banyan tree. As they're lying down, three of them, Kripacharya and Kritavarma, goes to sleep very quickly. They're tired. But Ashwatthama has beaten something more than what he can chew. He's taken a vow to kill all the Pandavas. It's not going to be easy. So, he cannot sleep. And I was thinking, this is a lesson that sometimes when we think that we are the doer and we have something to do, let's say tomorrow, and we lose our sleep over it. I was, this is my personal realization. That means I am thinking, I am the doer. Prakrite kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasha ahankar vimuna atma karta hamiti manyate. So he was thinking, I am the doer. I can do it. How can I do it? But he's also fearful. Bhishma mentions one time to Duryodhan that Ashwatthama is half Rathi. There is a definition of, let's require a longer discussion, but in the sense of Maharathi, Yati Rathi, Bhishma would consider him only as half Rathi, although he was considered Maharathi by many others. Because he was strong, he was warrior, he was son of Dronacharya. Very powerful. But he cannot sleep. Now what's happening is lying under a banyan tree, and there's a massive big owl comes. Owl, you know, the night creatures. He comes along and he starts to attack the sleeping crows and fledglings on the banyan tree. And he looks at that and he goes, what is this going on? And this owl, within pretty much 20 minutes, he destroys the whole of the crow community there and kills them all and flies away. Now Ashwatthama is found his role model. This is what happens. If someone is fully dependent on themselves, thinking, I am the doer, they find the wrong role model. So he finds that owl destroying the crows in the middle of night. This is inspiring for him. So he's away. This is Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam Jagrati Samyami. So everyone is sleeping peacefully. This person is like thinking, like he takes inspiration from that. And this is the danger of our situation also, I was thinking. If, first of all, if we are confused, we should seek guidance from others rather than trying to contemplate ourselves, how can I solve this problem of my life? Oh, I have taken this big challenge to myself, how can I do it? It's always better to consult someone who is wiser. So now Ashwatthama was looking at this owl and taking association of that. So we need to be very careful going out. Some of us work in the corporates. We have to be very careful whose association we take at what stage. It can affect our spiritual life so much. So Ashwatthama does that and he gets the idea, and the rest of the things we know already what happened. So Ashwatthama, a little bit more on. So one time what he did, he was a good person, supposed to be at least. By birth he was called Brahma Bandhu. But he had a few problems. So he would side with Duryodhan, not because he hated Arjuna or the Pandavas for that situation that Duryodhan was thinking to take away the kingdom. But he was envious of Arjuna. Every time there would be a game, you know, when Dronacharya was teaching them. So Dronacharya was the teacher, the warfare teacher of the Pandavas and the Kurus. Every time there will be a competition, Arjuna would always win. And Arjuna was such a kind person, he's such a well-behaved boy at the time, that he very easily impressed Dronacharya. So Dronacharya was always very happy with Arjuna. And he knew Arjuna can do something. And Ashwatthama was envious, saying, every time Arjuna wins it, and he probably has more love for my father than anyone else. So he had that nature. So one time he went to Krishna and said, Krishna, I want your Sudarshan Chakra. He said, what? Why do you want Sudarshan Chakra? He says, okay. Krishna says, he knows everyone, what's going on in their heart. He says, okay, take his side on the table. Ashwatthama goes and tries to pick up the chakra. He can't handle it, obviously. He tries to lift it. He can't lift it. And so then Krishna said, why did you want it? He said, well, Ashwatthama says, Krishna, really, I wanted your chakra so that I can become the best warrior. I can even defeat you. That was his thinking. As a child, when he was a little boy, the story goes a little bit, we'll play back old years. Ashwatthama was a little boy, and Dronacharya was very poor. He was a poor Brahmin. Extremely poor. So in those days, it was rare to not have a cow, but Dronacharya, for some reason, happened to be so poor that he didn't even have a cow. Extreme poor condition. But he was a Brahmin. He's doing his studies, Vedas, and learning. He was happy in that state. One time, Ashwatthama, while playing with his friend, one of the friends speaks about milk, and starts to glorify milk, how nice, tasty the milk is. Now, Dronacharya didn't have a cow. Ashwatthama comes back home and says, my friends were saying the milk tastes very nice. I don't know what milk is. Can I get some milk? Now they're so poor, they can't afford milk. So what Kripi does, Dronacharya's wife, she gets some white flour and adds some water in it and gives it to Ashwatthama. He drinks it, he's happy. I got the milk. He goes along next day. Somehow he gets to drink the real milk. He comes back home. He says, that's not what the milk that you gave me. Milk tastes very different, so nectarian. Why can't I get the same milk? Now Drona, so far he was okay. Now he has a problem. I mean, it's very difficult for a parent, you know, is to not provide what the children want sometime, but where to draw a line is difficult. So Dronacharya starts to contemplate, how can I help this situation? He's never gone out to make any money. He's never gone out to get more students. He's a Brahmin, simple. I now start to think, there's a desire in my child to have some milk. I need to provide for that. He tries to remember, how can I solve this problem? And then he remembers, as children, he and another prince at the time, Drupad, they used to study together under Bharadwaj. So Dronacharya is son of Bharadwaj. Bharadwaj is one of the Saptarishis, the seven sages, the great sages. So very high lineage in that sense. It matters at all, it doesn't. So Dronacharya and Drupad used to study under the same teacher. And they made such good friendship. Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki Sitarama Sanamani. Both of them made such good friendship. Drupad one time said, out of, you know, excitement, children can get excited, they speak a lot of things to each other. He said, Drona, you're my best friend. When I become king, I will share half of my kingdom with you. That was a time when they were little children. And Drona remembers that. Yes, Drupad had promised me half of the kingdom. I should go and get it. That's a simple Brahmin, yeah? He says, I will go to Drupad and claim my half of the kingdom. The problem is solved. He forgot what problem he was trying to solve. He was trying to solve a problem of little milk. Now he's gone to the level of getting half of the kingdom. So then again, problem starts. He goes there to Drupad and says, Drupad, do you remember? I'm your friend Drona. And Drupad says, yes, I think I remember. You're Drona. We studied together, right? You know, when we meet old friends and say, we study together. And Drona is expecting so much. He starts to get a little bit of disappointment because, we study together. That's all? I said, okay. Still gets encouraged himself. You know, you remember, Drupad, when we were studying together, you once promised me that you will share half of your kingdom with me. Now, Drupad is a politician, he's a king, you know. Someone comes on the door and knocks on the door, and you remember what you said, half of the kingdom? Drupad said, come on, friendship is amongst equals. He starts to speak the Dharma Shastra. What's the scripture? The Shastra says, friendship must be amongst equals. We are not equals. You are a poor Brahmin, I am from a royal family, I'm a king. How can we be friend? You're here, you're a Brahmin, give some cows. Tells one of his ministers, give him some cows and let him go. Now Dronacharya feels insulted because he is gone. Now the things are moving on. So what was started as a little glass of milk He takes half of the kingdom. Now he's gone to the court. He feels insulted. Now his ego is hurt. So what have you done? You rejected me in front of all of these people. You forgot our friendship. And then what are you telling me? Go away. I'm not taking your cows. So he rejects the cows. He comes back home. Then now he's trying to figure out, how can I get the cow? Oh, how can, now moved on actually, sorry. How can I get the cow? From there on he says, I need to teach this Drupada lesson. So this is what can happen, I was thinking, in my own case. When we get tripped over certain things, we start with little desire, and we go to the next level, we forget where the problem was, what I was trying to, so maybe a very little situation that we're trying to resolve, but we can get distracted because the mind is a troublemaker. And added with the false ego, we can go into completely different direction. Now Dronacharya is starting to contemplate, how can I take revenge from Drupada? Now Drupada is a very powerful king at the time. He was king of Panchal. So now it's called Punjab. So Draupadi was Punjabi, some say. Yeah. he's a powerful king. Drona wants to take revenge. I'm going to fast track the stories. So he comes back. Okay, what can I do? His wife Kripi is the twin sister of Kripacharya, who is the priest in the court. He says, maybe I can, if I develop some relationship with my relatives here, Kurus, maybe I can do something with, teach this person a lesson. He goes around, he's there, he's watching all the children. He gets an idea. Oh, maybe I can teach them how to fight. Before that, in that mood to take revenge, he actually approaches Parshuram and asks, can I learn this art of warfare from you? Parshuram says, okay, well, Parshuram had taken a vow to, Lord Parshuram had only taken a vow to teach Brahmins. Dronacharya is a Brahmin, easy thing, okay, I can teach you, that's all I do. So he taught Dronacharya. Dronacharya learned the art of warfare from Parshuram. And he uses the same technique. He's at the same time very powerful. He's Brahmin. He's learned the Vedas. He learned the fighting. He goes to a place where children, Kuru's children are playing. And in that play, what happens? They're playing with the ball, and the ball falls into a well. Dronacharya gets an idea. Children are trying to get the ball out. They can't get it out. Dronacharya thinks, okay, I can do it for you. How can you do it? Here you go. He takes a blade of grass, chants a mantra, takes another blade of grass, chants another mantra, joins the two blades together, and then like that, he joins one after another, makes a big long stick, put the stick in the well, chants another mantra, gets the ball out. Children are really impressed. Wow, this is for children. If they see this, they wow, this is great. And they say, can you teach this to us? He says, yeah, I can teach. Well, you need to go to your grandfather, Bhishma. If he tells me, I will teach you. So the children go to Bhishma and say, narrate the whole story. This is what happened today. And Bhishma says, wow, if he wants to teach you, that's great. He's a Brahmin. He's learned from Parshuram, who's also Bhishma's own teacher. That's great, the best thing to do. So they agree, and now Drona starts to teach the Kurus, the Pandavas, and his own son Ashwatthama. His single focus is to teach them how to fight. So all those years when the Kuru and the Pandava children were with Dronacharya, the only thing he taught them was how to fight. That includes his own son, Ashwatthama, how to fight. So they're developing skills, but without character. This is the danger. So Drona, to fulfill his own sort of plan, he's teaching his children and not giving them any dharma. He knows dharma, but he doesn't teach. Dhritarashtra is fine with that. Yeah, they're not learning any dharma. Good. They should not be. They should be fighting. But Pandavas, obviously, because of their higher birth, the mother, Kunti, Maharani, they always had the good character. Now, when the time comes, Drona says, now that you've learned the art, actually he says even before to Bhishma, that I'm happy to teach your children, but one condition, when they've learned it, I want them to go and capture Drupada. I want to teach him a lesson. That's his constant thought. It's okay, though it takes time, 10 years, 12 years, They learn the war and they say, yes, now we are ready. Then he says, okay, now if you are ready, you need to give me as your Guru Dakshin. You know, you pay something to the teacher as capture that King Drupad. So Duryodhan and, you know, they're like, they jump the first. They with his 99 brothers jumps in and says, ah, okay, I can do it. Drona was not sure whether they can do it, but she allows, okay, you can go and try. So they go there, and Duryodhan with his 99 brothers, they get defeated really badly. They come back morose. And Drona, he says, I knew that you can't do it. Then he says, Arjun, would you like to? Arjun is waiting for the instruction. Yes, I can go. So Arjun goes there, he defeats Drupad. Really, very easily. And Drupad is so impressed with that. Arjun's such a, he's a young boy. He can fight so well. He's defeated me and with my such a big army single-handedly. He gets really impressed with Arjun. And now he's lost his kingdom, goes back to Drona. Drona has him now. And Drona says, I'm not going to behave like you. I will give you your half kingdom. And then Drupad is now he's a king. He gets half of the kingdom. But he's feeling again insulted. Now he was insulted. Now he is insulted. He takes a vow that I'll come back and then one day I will get a son who will be fit enough to kill you. So he does perform a yajna. Of the yajna gets twins, sister and brother. So Draupadi and Drishtadyumna comes. Drishtadyumna was the commander-in-chief of Pandavas. And Draupadi, we know who Draupadi is. And Drupad takes that revenge, and we know what happens. Well, I'm assuming, but that's a long story if we go through the whole thing. So, finally, what happened? Drishtadyumna killed Drona. I mean, there's a long story about that itself. I'm just thinking, conscious of time. And also, today is the last day for book distribution. I'm sure most of you are excited to go out. And he takes his own revenge. So, this is the story of these great people. Like they can get distracted with what comes along. False ego kicks in. Our mind troubles us. It can take us from anywhere to this situation. So, whereas Arjun, the difference between Arjun is, Arjun desired not to kill. So that's the difference between why Arjun is the most appropriate recipient for Bhagavad Gita, because he had compassion. Draupadi is so dear to Krishna because compassion. Arjun was not fighting out of compassion for his relatives, for the future. He was seeing so many problems. If I conduct this warfare, so many people will die. There will be women out of protection, children out of protection. There will be chaos in the society. He is compassionate. He's worried about that situation. And so his desire is not to fight. And Krishna helps him to understand, to overtake his desire to fight for Krishna. But he takes guidance from Krishna. And then what happens? Finally, he says, Krishna, again, even after Krishna giving him all the Bhagavad Gita teachings, finally he goes to say, you do what you desire. Yathe chasi tatha kuru. You do what you desire. I've given you all the knowledge. You contemplate on it. And you do what you think is the best thing to do. And Arjun is convinced. He says, yes, I will do what you say. Karishe vachanam tava. So Arjun takes the desires and then merges his desire into Krishna's desire, fulfill what Krishna wanted him to achieve. And whereas the non-devotees, Ashwathama and Co, they can get into different stories. So the desires are a very dangerous game. I'll say one last story and you can... So there's a story of a brahmachari who likes to read Bhagavad Gita, who wants to absorb himself in Bhagavad Gita. So he finds himself a cave, goes inside the cave, says, this is the best place, no one will disturb me. Starts reading his Bhagavad Gita, and the night after night, he finds that some of the pages are ripped from the Bhagavad Gita. What happened here? Oh, there's a rat seems to be biting away my Bhagavad Gita. And that's the problem. He goes out and says, I have a rat. I was reading my Bhagavad Gita in the cave. Rat is troubling me. Ask people, what should I do? They say, have a cat. Cat can take care of the rat. He says, that's fine. That's a good idea. Takes the cat and the rat is away. The cat starts to mew. What do I do with the cat? Why is he? And he goes, why is this cat crying? He said, cat need milk. How do you get milk? Well, for milk you need a cow. Really? Okay. So get a cow. You get the cow. So he has the rat taken care of by the cat taken care of by the cow, and now he's just reading his Bhagavad Gita, realize who's going to take care of the cow? She needs to be taken care of. Goes out again, what do I do? I'm reading my Bhagavad Gita, now how do I take care of the cow? Then the villager says, you know what, if you want to take care of the cow, what we do, if you go out in the field in the daytime, when we are not at home, the wife take care of the cows, so maybe you should get married. So he gets married. So now he is married now, so he has to look after his wife. He goes out, he needs to work. So now he's forgetting his Bhagavad Gita, and now he's in another situation. So this little thing, whereas there's a Vaishnava devotee from South India who wrote the commentary on Bhagavad Gita. In his case, what happened is, he had written commentary for all 18 chapters. But what happened? The last chapter, somehow a rat comes in, Musika Raj, comes in and eats away the last chapter's commentary. And then people tell him, you know, please write the 18th chapter. He says, no. This is Musika Raj, is the carrier of Lord Ganesha. He has eaten away the 18th chapter. Maybe Lord Ganesha does not want me to write the 18th chapter commentary. He gives away there. That's the difference between a devotee, you know, who's not attached to the situation. He says, this is what the will of the providence is, let it be like that. So, I'm just conscious of time again, it's already 5:30. So that's my little sort of presentation on this verse. It's to also reminding us that the main thing is to manage our desires, keep the desires in sync with Krishna's desires, Prabhupada's desires, our Guru's desires. And just, we have the process. We've been given the process. There are 8 steps, starting with Adho Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha Bhajan Kriya, all those. We can do that. Everything is there. And for myself, I just want to manage my desires in the right direction. Hare Krishna.